Scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 14, verses 2 through 6. That's John chapter 14, verses 2 through 6. And I am reading from the New American Standard. And it reads, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me."
Joe, I like the way you changed the pitch on that one song. It really, I thought, was great. I don't think it was intentional, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. We'll be concluding this morning the series of lessons on the I Am sayings of Jesus. And this morning's lesson brings us to John 14, a chapter that is filled with the I Am statements. And this chapter continues a very intimate conversation that Jesus has with his closest friends, his closest disciples. And this discourse had its early beginnings in chapter 13 when Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist and he washed his disciples' feet. And it wasn't because they needed washing, but he was trying to instill a lesson of servitude and humility. In the upper room, Jesus says that we cannot be a part of him unless we are willing to wash feet and unless we are willing to humble ourselves in service to others. And so we need to ask ourselves sometimes, are we too good to wash feet? You know, because sometimes our behavior indicates and provides evidence that we think we are. So this brings us to John 14. And we'll look at the first 11 verses, some that Rusty read, and we're not going to read all 11 verses. We'll read some, and then we'll drop down to verse 11. Now Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If that were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." And then Thomas says to him, he said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me." Now let's drop down to verse 11. For Jesus here, he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." You know, oftentimes in funeral services, we use John 14 in the services. But more importantly, it deals with us who are alive and living each and every day, because it is a comfort that provides us when our lives are tumbling. It's about where to go, what to think, when things become really difficult. Now, these men that Jesus are speaking to, they left their fathers and their mothers. They left their homes, their careers, their jobs. They left the land they grew up in. And in a few hours, they're going to see their hopes in the Messiah hang on a cross as a common criminal. They're going to see him, the one who claimed to be Jehovah God, die, the one who was supposed to have conquered the Romans, but die of a Roman crucifixion. Jesus tries to prepare them. In much the same way, he tries to prepare us for when life comes tumbling down. We are to remember, I am the one to believe in. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So the question we need to ask ourselves, not just one time, but over and over and over again, is who is our faith really in? What is our faith in? Who or what do we put our trust in? And we shouldn't say it's God unless it truly is. Jesus, he points to the fatherhood of God. He says, here in my Father's house. But he also says that I and the Father are one. I live in him and he lives in me. I am God in the flesh. And he spends the last half of the chapter and most of chapter 16 talking about he and the Father, how they can live in us through the Holy Spirit. But do we really believe in the fatherhood of God? Jesus in Matthew 7 in verse 11, he says, if your earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more do you suppose your heavenly Father knows what you need? Isn't it time that we live as if God is our Father and that he is treating us as a son or a daughter? When our lives are tumbling, do we sense that God is using this event to remold or remake or reshape us into his image so that each and every case we start looking more like Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son? Jesus provides us as an assurance of heaven. In my Father's house are many abodes, many mansions, many rooms, many places, many dwellings. You can choose each or any one of those and you would be 100% correct. Jesus says that when life becomes more than we can bear, remember, remember, remember that heaven awaits. You know, it provides comfort to know that one day this life will end and that the promises of Revelation 21 verse 4 come true. No more pain, sadness, tears, no more death. But he also says that when life becomes difficult, to remember that he is the one who has prepared a way for us to enjoy the experience of heaven, the joys of his Father's house. You know, this past week I read in one case where they said that one out of 26 verses in the New Testament concerns Jesus' second coming. Now, I didn't check on the accuracy of that statement, and I don't know if it's more or it's less. It doesn't really matter. But it's reassuring that we're not left dangling in this world with no hope. But at this point in the discourse, Thomas interrupts, saying, We don't know where you're going. We don't even know the way. And Jesus' reply is the first I am statement of the morning. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except by me. I am the way. Greek word hados. It means road, path, a way, a route. And it appears 102 times in the Greek New Testament. But it often occurs as a road. In Matthew 2 and verse 12, And speaking of the wise men and the road that they traveled, they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they returned to their country by another route, another way. And sometimes the word is used in speaking of a way of life. We find that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, where Jesus has said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, route, road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." The way of Jesus, the road that God would have us to travel, is Christianity. And it's spoken of as the way. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, we had Saul going to the Sanhedrin. He wanted letters so that he could travel and persecute those of the way. You know, Mark begins his gospel in quoting Isaiah. Mark 1 and verses 2 and 3. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you. Prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths, the way." In Ephesus, and Paul encountered those speaking evil of the way in Acts chapter 19 and verse 9. Acts 24 and verse 22, Felix knew about the way. Six times in the book of Acts itself, the way is used to refer to the early Jesus movement. But the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10 and verses 19 and 20, the writer says that the blood of Christ and the flesh of Christ is the new and living way for us to enter the most holy place. Many profound scriptural evidences that Jesus is the way. Pilate asked a question in John chapter 18 and verse 38. What is the truth? People have been asking that question for centuries. Oftentimes, we find it in Christianity too, in all the denominations there. Well, what is the truth? Because you see, we all seem to differ on these things. We can go next door and their idea is different than ours. Go down the street, their idea is different than ours. What is the truth? The truth in the Greek language literally means something that is unconcealed, indicates sincerity, certainty, factual, reality. Truth is reality. It's what things truly are. In the Old Testament, truth was embodied within God's covenant law, with His people, the ones like Adam and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the truth became a covenant between Moses and Israel. But in the New Testament, God's truth is within the personage of Jesus Christ, His life, and His teachings. Jesus is the Word. John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." Jesus is the truth that saves. And knowing the truth is having a walking, talking, hand-holding relationship with this living truth. And that living truth will set us free from sin. Jesus said in John 8, verses 31 and 32, To those who believe in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is a relationship with Christ, the living word, and it will set us free. It will sanctify us. John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. The word is your truth. He's speaking, of course, of his disciples right there. He was concerned about them. He knew what they were going to be going through. He knew the doubts that was going to come. He knew the fear that was going to come to his disciples. It's the truth that got him through. The living word and the written word are the same. They are both the truth. Because Jesus is God, and his living and written word do not disagree or contradict. Truth, the word instills faith. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In James chapter 1 and verse 18, it says he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Ephesians 5, verse 26, Paul reminds us that truth, the living word, Jesus, it makes his church holy. It cleanses her by the washing with water through the word. And so we need to reflect. In that, do we have an ongoing relationship with the living and written word? You know, sometimes we treat Christianity as a part-time job. Now, those of you that have part-time jobs, you don't get any benefits, do you? You don't get a health plan. You don't get a retirement. You just work for a living wage. But a full-time employee gets all the benefits. Sometimes we treat Christianity as a part-time job, but we're going to be expecting the full benefits. That's why we must have this ongoing relationship in God's Word each and every day. You know, there are three basic words for life in the New Testament. And the word that John used in John 14 and verse 6, Zoe, speaks about eternal life. It speaks about the eternal nature of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Zoe is a result of us being made in God's image. God in us. It is being in that image that causes us to live forever. Every other creature on the face of this earth is carbon. It'll go away. But not us. It is our eternal nature, our spirit, that Jesus came to redeem, making sure that we have the opportunity to live with him forever. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was making the point that our agenda in life, our goal and focus, must not be on this life only, but on eternal life. Yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to live, shelter. But that's not the focus of life. John 3 and verse 36 reminds us that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see such life because God's wrath remains on him. Jesus in John 14 verse 19, he promises, because I live, you also will live. If I were to ask the question, I don't want to see any hands. If I was to ask the question this morning, who of you is afraid to die? How many would raise their hands? Scary question to ask. But what's really scary is the ones that hold the hands up. Why are you afraid to die? Death is life. It's life. Death isn't permanent for a Christian. Our time is coming to a close. But I want to say something about the next clause in John 14 and verse 6, where Jesus said, there is no access to the Father except by me, through me. The definite article here tells us that Jesus is declaring himself right here, right now, to be the only route to heaven. We can't go around it. We can't take the bypass. We can't take the turnpike. We can't take the toll road. Only the route through Jesus Christ. He is the only salvational truth in this world. When these men understood the truths of Jesus' I am sayings, did they become changed men? Their understanding didn't come immediately because they were just as confused when Jesus spoke these words as when he was nailed to that cross. But afterwards, they certainly understood and they became changed men. Have we changed? Have we changed? You know, we stand in their shoes this morning. We are his. Do we understand? If Jesus isn't first and foremost Lord and King over every arena of our lives, it's because we have yet to understand these truths that were on the lips of Jesus. And until we do, not only will our eternal life be in jeopardy, but we're going to be struggling when our lives are tumbling in and when things go wrong. We will be the ones who would raise their hands when asked if they are afraid to die. What will you do with the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Will you believe in him? Will you trust in him? Will you trust in him enough to obey? Would we be willing to confess our sins? And repent of them, would be willing to confess him before men? Would we be willing to be washed in the waters of New Testament baptism? Wash away our sins. As Christians, as those who have obeyed the gospel, have we taken steps to conform to his image? Are we wearing the costume? And we take it off when we leave here. Conforming to his image means that we have his heart, his disposition, his behavior. And if we have failed in those things, then those things need to be repented of. If anyone needs to respond to the invitation this morning, we pray that you will come as together we stand and saying.